Welcome to episode 1073 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, November 2nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Support the show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohanaware at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Of course, I am on travel. There is no video portion to the show tonight. I am solo here in the hotel room. But I got a great show lined up for you tonight. I hope everyone's doing great. If you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central podcast. I want you to visit geeknewscentral.com. When you get over to the website, I want you to subscribe to the show and the newsletter. Of course, you can visit geeknewscentral.com daily to read all the great content that's on the website. If you want to reach out to me about today's show and send me your comments, you can email geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me in Google Plus on Facebook. All the links to the show tonight will be in the show notes. They'll be on the website at geeknewscentral.com, including links on how to email me and how to reach out on Twitter and all that stuff that I just covered. So don't need to have a pen to write any of that down. But we do want to hear from you, so feel free to send in your commentary on today's show. It's been a very, very busy time. I've been putting in a lot of man hours, starting the show tonight about 20 minutes past my normal start time. It's just the way it is. Things have been pretty, like I said, pretty busy. But it's business. And that's what happens when you're on travel. Don't forget, when we're doing the show live, you can watch it live.geeknewscentral.com. The show is available via the Roku, Apple TV. I guess the new Apple TV, maybe not. I heard the podcast app is not ready for the new Apple TV yet. So maybe for a little while, you'll have to just use your tablet or something else if you want to watch the show and we get back into doing the regular live content. Of course, you can listen on the Amazon Echo. All you have to do is tell Alexa to fire up Geek News Central Podcast by saying, "Alexa, play Geek News Central Podcast." You can listen to the show on Stitcher and, of course, over at blueberry.com. There's partner shows, part of our network here at geeknewscentral.com. We got Know Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. We've got The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. We got The Elder Divide with Todd Ani. Of course, we got the Pro Gear site at progear.guru. This show is sponsored by the longest continuing sponsor of a podcast known to the history of man, and that, of course, is GoDaddy.com. We want you to take time to go over to GoDaddy.com, pick out a domain, pick out a hosting account, pick out a product over there that's going to get you online and ramped up and running so that you can have a presence for your business or yourself, maybe launch a new project. Really, anything is possible. The best thing to remember, though, is I want you to come over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy to find all the promo codes. There are a link there directly on the website. All you do is click a link, and from the offer that most matches a product you're looking for, and it's going to take you over there, and you're going to get considerable savings, either on our dollar deals with hosting accounts or the 99-cent.coms or 30% off on your order. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here of this show for many, many years. And very excited that you guys continue to support GoDaddy and all their great products and services. Well, I tell you, folks, it's been, I guess for a better word, a non-news, personally, a non-newsworthy couple of days. My nose has been to the grindstone, doing what I do. And it's, you know, in the evening times, catching up with email and just everything. It's been pretty wild. Of course, my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee on the New Media Show, he went solo this past Saturday and actually did a blab. I don't know if you all are familiar with blab, but did a blab with Ray Ortega, did a great show. So very, very happy that Rob was able to get a show without me, get a show out without me. He did email me the links. So I downloaded the audio and video and processed them here and then re-uploaded and posted the show late last night. But one thing that my wife asked me while I was in the D.C. area, if I would drive down to the area where we lived when we were first married. And so Sunday, after getting a very, very short haircut, some of you have seen the picture on Facebook, I drove down to Southern Maryland in the Patuxent area, Lexington Park area, St. Mary's County, and drove around. Basically, I've got one of these cameras that you can put in the dash of your car. And basically, I turned it on just as I entered the area that her and I would have probably remembered the most, and then took her on for about a one-hour trip around the area. Was pretty amazed myself at the growth and the explosion of the area down there. But took her by the two places we lived in while we were here. Drove over to Leonardtown, where both two of my first two children, or actually my second and third child, were born. Of course, Natalie was my first child from a previous marriage, but I took them, and really, it's, yeah, I drove through the parking lot and get some video of the hospital, which was, it looked a little bit different, not quite how I remember it, but I guess that's what happens over 20 years. And then wrapped it up with some of just area shots, but that has been the excitement that I've had here while on travel. Meanwhile, just staying very, very busy. So going to be moving around over the next couple of weeks. So I'll be talking about that as it comes, basically as I shift positions and do things that I'm doing right now. But I'm going to go ahead and get into the tech content tonight. I got a great lineup of stuff to talk to you about. And as I've mentioned earlier, I'm going to try to put out some shorter shows on this trip, maybe a few extra shows if it works out. But the first thing up today is there's an official announcement that CBS has made, is that they are going to come out with a new Star Trek. They are making an official new Star Trek TV series. And I think a lot of people are, for a better word, shocked. The show's going to premiere in January 2017 with a preview episode on CBS. And then in the U.S. will move, and then in the United States, it's going to move exclusively into video on demand and streaming services, CBS All Access. It will be the first developed specifically for the CBS streaming service. I have no idea what they're charging to get access to that platform, but if the series turns out to be popular, they will definitely have a winner on their hands. So, you Trekkies out there, I'm sure you're excited. They're saying it's going to be a whole new cast, obviously, and they are going to follow some of the same exact themes that they have in the past with Star Trek. So, I think this is pretty cool. And a whole new generation is going to get exposure and to become Trekkie fans. So this is absolutely fantastic for those of you that are Star Trek fans, and I'm sure he's as excited as I am. Next up, we talked a little bit about this before, law professor Lawrence Lessig, who, you know, months to my surprise, it was actually running for U.S. president. He has quit the U.S. presidential race. Of course, he's the author of Code and Other Laws of Cyberspace and the driving force behind the Creative Commons movement. So anyway, he has pulled out, not garnering or garnering even 1%, and largely being ignored by the Democratic Party. So it's just one of those things where, you know, we can talk about whether or not he even would have made a good president or not. That doesn't matter, but it just goes to show that if you don't have a name, lots of money, you just can't get into politics and hope to even make an impact, because you're not even going to be given the time of day to do so. folks over at DGI, and I'm a big fan of DGI, but DGI has teamed up with Canical to launch an embedded computer for drones. So this is pretty cool. DJI and Canical, the corporate entity behind Ubuntu, the Linux distribution, announced the launch of what's called Manifold. It's going to be a small embedded computer that is optimized for building applications for drones. And the Manifold is only going to fit on the DJI Matrix 100 platform. Now, it's a very, very expensive drone. It's a developer's drone, about $3,300 for this drone. So it's not going to be basically available to, you know, the mainstream folks, but they hope to be able to build software and tools and, you know, enhance the development of what they're doing in the drone space. So very, very awesome. DJI continues to kick the tires here and trying to be innovative and partnering up with a lot of folks. Very distressing today that there's a newly discovered exploit that makes every iPhone remotely hackable. Now, we talked about a bounty a number of weeks ago being placed on the new iPhone, specifically iOS 9.1 and 9.2b, where the folks from Zeridium, Zerodium, who had offered $1 million for a hack that would be able to be gotten to, or basically be able to get into the iOS platform with a certain set of criteria. So their zero-day bounty has been basically awarded to a team who made a remote browser-based iOS 9 jailbreak untethered, and they're the ones that are going to get $1 million, that team is. Now, what's really bad about this is that this company doesn't release the results of the hack. They essentially sell to the highest bidder, typically government agencies, the ability to be able to hack and access iOS. There's no doubt that this exploit is extremely valuable. The exploit is going to allow law enforcement to get around any security measures and get into a target's iPhone to intercept calls, messages, and access data stored in the phone. So this is a big, big deal, and I'm sure Apple will eventually figure out what this vulnerability is and will lock it up. But it just goes to show you, nothing is absolutely impenetrable. It just goes to show you that it just takes some smart people digging deep to be able to come up with a way to access phones. And I'm sure law enforcement and other agencies are going to use this this new exploit in a big way. And the company called Zeridium is going to be rewarded handsomely for this this exploit. And we'll make it available to those folks that can afford to pay for it. So they're going to make their money many, many, many times over. And it just goes to prove that if a company like this puts out a bounty and says, hey, we're going to pay $1 million to figure this out, that's a lot of motivation for those in that community that look for zero-day exploits and be able to get into devices. So we'll see how much more news this makes. But as of today, according to Zeridium, the iPhone is no longer secure. All right, the EPA, this is crazy. It really is, and I don't think this comes as much as a surprise, but the EPA has discovered defeat devices in more Volkswagen TDI engines. In a strongly worded letter, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has issued a new set of allegations against Volkswagen, claiming that so-called emission defeat software has been found in the company's 3.0-liter TDI V6 engines. This is a completely different engine than the 2.0 TDI that's already been identified, and now the EPA has included Audi and Porsche in this notification, as a non-compliant engine has been used in vehicles from all three manufacturers from year 2014 to 2016. This engine includes, is being used in the 2014 VW Touareg, the 2015 Porsche Cayenne, and the 2015 Audi A6, A7, A8, Q5. The EPA says there are 10,000 vehicles currently on the road with a secondary defeat device, along with an unknown number of 2016 models either in dealers' lots or in the driveways of consumers. According to the EPA, VW's 3.0 liter, like the 2.0 that was found to circumvent U.S. regulation, has code in its computer specifically written to intentionally put the vehicle's engine to a mode that allows it to meet exhaust requirements. When the vehicle is unhooked from test equipment, it will go back into a mode that emits 9 times higher nitrogen oxide emissions than is allowable under United States law. Volkswagen is done. I don't see how their brand recovers from this. Any of you own any of those vehicles? You know, the Audi line is, those vehicles are beautiful. I don't think many of us are driving Porsches around, but holy smokes. Can you imagine being the owner of one of these cars and just wanting to, like, rip somebody's throat out? The deception here is unbelievable. Now, Volkswagen's going to pay heavily for this, and their reputation is going to be, they're just going to be known as cheaters for a long, long time. That brand is going to have a tough road ahead, and I just feel bad for people that work at Volkswagen, at dealerships, salesmen, the whole nine yards. Those folks are going to just, you know, they've taken money out of their pockets. It's bad. It really, really is. So anyway, too bad on Volkswagen, and this is, I'm sure this is not the end of this, and maybe we'll hear about some more companies in the near future. All right, Facebook is making some employees switch from iPhone to Android. We talked a little bit already about Facebook having what's called a 2G Tuesday, and it's made it make employees understand how their users access Facebook on 2G speeds in other countries. And this latest move involves making them switch to the Android device to understand how that 2G speed affects them on lower-end Android devices. So what they're really doing here is they're trying to improve the experience of users on Facebook that may be in these low-bandwidth countries, and I think it's going to help all of us because some of these apps, quite frankly, are just data hogs. So I'm looking forward to seeing them making some code enhancements that makes these apps a little more tolerant to lower transfer speeds and so forth. So we will see where this goes, but I have to hand it to Facebook to attempting at least to make the culture there understand that they're not all in the valley or in San Francisco where, you know, the speed is fantastic and maybe they ought to be used to getting speed on their phones where it's focused out on the fringe, you know, and make a case, their use case, and make it better for them. All right, many of you, I'm sure, listen to the Serial podcast, but the folks behind Serial have announced that the podcast's second season will debut on Pandora as well as iTunes. So we'd kind of heard some rumors about maybe Pandora jumping into the podcasting space. And with the announcement last week that Google Play is adding podcasts, and I don't know if that announcement came after the last show or not, but it's really shows you that the podcasting space is on fire. And for those of you that are Android users, you're going to have in a very short period a native app that is going to have podcasts available. Now, my shows have been accepted already for the Google Play Store or Google Play Music, the podcast section that will be released in 2 to 3 months. But it just shows you that this space that I'm, you know, was largely involved in and been helping to grow and to nurture all these years, is growing up, and kind of what we're seeing now is the big companies kind of get into the space. It's going to be a a wild next couple of years. It already has been pretty wild up to this point. But it shows you Pandora getting on board a spoken word makes you go, hmm. So what I like about this is that what it does is it gives all of you options. And, you know, the Pandora announcement with Serio is, okay, that's great, but is Pandora going to open up and bring on more spoken word? You know, are they going to open up their library as well? It was not more than a year ago when executives at Pandora that I was talking to said, you know, no way at this time. So maybe at this time, that term has changed into it's coming. So congrats to Google, and of course, excited to see what's going to happen with Pandora down the road. And I hope it makes you guys excited as well, especially those of you that are Android users on the Google Play Music Adding podcast. You know, we're getting to shopping period, and I had made a kind of a outrageous comment that the first store I walked into that had Christmas decorations up, and again, I haven't been shopping in the last 2 or 3 weeks, at least not in stores that are obviously putting out Christmas stuff, but I'm hearing from many people that stores are already lining the shelves with wrapping paper, and so I had basically said, you know, the first store I walk into with Christmas decorations up, I'm going to not shop in for a year. So that hasn't happened yet, I haven't purposely went shopping. So I'm sure at some point here in the near future, I will walk in a store that has Christmas stuff, and then I will have to invoke my one-year ban on not shopping with them. Christmas just seems to come earlier and earlier, and I understand that vendors have to make money when they can. But Amazon today, trick me once, fool me twice, number three, shame on me. Well, Amazon has kicked off a Black Friday fever with more than 30,000 lightning deals. Okay, we've heard that before, right? So Amazon is already has already got the Black Friday fever, and it announced the launch of Black Friday Deals Store, which it promises will provide customers with more than 30,000 deals that Prime members will be able to access half an hour before everyone else. Okay, that means like 90% of Amazon users who are on Prime are going to get access. But anyway, the Black Friday Deal Store will run through the month of November until December 22nd. We've heard this before. And it ended up the deals weren't so good. So I'm not rushing straight over to go shopping with Amazon. You know, they trumped this Prime Day sale. And for me, it almost makes the point where maybe I don't want to shop so much with Amazon based upon their behavior earlier in the year. So I guess we'll see where this shopping is. But Black Friday, my good friends, is officially, I think, dead. There's going to be a few hardcore of you that are going to see, you know, a limit of 10 specific TVs at $100. You're going to go stand in line for 24 hours to get you save $500 on a TV. And I don't blame you one bit for doing that, because that's a huge savings. But I'm not doing it. I'm not going to go stand in line. I'm not going to go wait. Sometimes those deals basically put you in a position of buying something you necessarily don't need. So I'm going to be a little more conservative this Christmas holiday period in what I'm buying, and I'm not going to be getting too amped up. I will share with you stuff that I find that I think is good deals. If you see stuff that you think is a great deal, definitely throw it up on Twitter at me. Post the link at Geek News. Drop me a line. Let me know what it is. I'll retweet it out to the Ohana. So it's really important as we do move into this holiday period, and if we're going to crowdsource this together and coming up with stuff that it looks like it's a good deal to you that's available online, I definitely want you to tweet it to me or put it up in Facebook. It's better to do it where we all can get access to it really fast So Twitter's really kind of the place to go. And I know all of you are following me already. Well, not all of you. Maybe 1/10 of you, or maybe 1/5 of you are following me at Geek News on Twitter. And then the rest of you should pick me up on Facebook, give you a good excuse to friend me over there. Now, of course, friend you back. Okay, off Amazon. Over on the Register, there's a company called the Chaos, not this company, it's a group. The Chaos Computer Club is claiming the Apple's rejected an app that would stream security talks from its Chaos Communications Congress event because researchers have previously hacked iOS. The Congress is Europe's largest hacker confab, regularly attracts more than 10,000 delegates and has run for 31 years. The event is home to some of the industry's most innovative hacking research, along with talks on sociology, politics, and science. So Cupertino has apparently banned the app. And they do not want an app that's going to be talking about Apple in the Apple Store. So, is that fair? Well, they're the gatekeepers, right? I guess they can do anything they want. Although it does show you that a developer that builds their business on someone else's platform is asking for trouble. They are, over the long run. So, not surprising here. Okay, the Large Hadron Collider, well, do you believe it? They're already talking about its next upgrade. This thing just got done, going through an upgrade, coming off a 2-year layoff, and it's going to be going under knife again. Last week, 230 scientists met at CERN in Switzerland to discuss the High Luminosity LHC project and move it from development phase to the construction phase. After two more long shutdown periods in 2019 and in 2024, the HLLHC will deliver 10 times the amount of particle collision it does now. New technology coming its way includes 12 superconducting quadrupole magnets, crab cavities that tilt the particle beam before the collisions, and more. So this is real complicated scientific stuff, but they want to make that collider collide more. So link will be up in the show notes. This is a disturbing article, and I can, for a little bit, understand maybe some of the reasoning. In the United States, middle-aged, and this is a specific gender, not gender, specific race. In the United States, middle-aged white people are living shorter and unhealthier lives. There was a study done from 1998 to 2013, where they found mortality rates of white non-Hispanic Americans aged 45 to 54 rose by 0.5% per year. Researchers report in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the trend is in stark contrast to other ethnic groups, which continue to see declines during the same time frame. Middle-aged Hispanic and Black Americans saw a 1.8 and 2.6 decrease in mortality rates per year, respectively. Populations of other rich countries also saw around a 2% decline in mortality rates per year. So the researchers estimate that if mortality rates of middle-aged white Americans held steady at the 1998 level, 96,000 people would still be alive if the death rate had continued to decline, as other populations did, 488,500 people would still be alive. And it doesn't come necessarily from health choices. Well, it not food choices. It's largely coming from suicide, drug, and alcohol poisoning. So I was like, wow. So if you're in that risk group, pay attention here. But there is worry that folks, and then I'm right in the middle of this age group here, we may be in worse health than the elderly. So they're saying those in this midlife may be a lost generation whose future is less bright than those who preceded them. Wow, that's kind of like, that's depressing. So what it sounds like is that other ethnic groups have gotten the message that they need to live a little healthier where is the folks in the, you know, the white folks in the in this other group, they've been living a little bit too large and high on the hog, so it's coming back to bite them in these higher mortality rates. All right, Audible is going to stop working with Sonos next week. If any of you have Sonos speakers, I have some in my house. I've never used Audible with Sonos in the past, but if you've been using Sonos and Audible together, well, next week that will party will come to an end. Sonos says they weren't able to upgrade their hardware to have a more, I guess, a better modern experience with Audible, and would decide to drop the compatibility. Okay. There's been a bill introduced to criminalize warrantless cell phone surveillance. The use of stingrays that capture data about cell phone calls has become increasingly controversial, but law enforcement agencies continue to brace the devices. Just last week, IRS Director John Kosinkin was questioned in the U.S. Senate about his agency's acquisition of a stingray for its criminal investigation. Today, Representative Jason Chaffetz, Republican of Utah, said he'll introduce a bill that will criminalize any use of a stingray without a warrant. He provided a draft copy of the bill to the Washington Examiner, which reports that violations would be punishable by fines of up to 10 years in prison. The text of the draft isn't public yet, but the Examiner reports it will include wide exemptions, including for situations involving emergencies, including immediate danger of death, national security, or the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The bill would apply to state and local agencies as well as federal ones. The ACLU has identified 57 agencies that own stingrays or similar devices in 22 states and the District of Columbia. So, wow, we will see where this bill goes. We'll see if it gets through the process. I'll be surprised if it makes it and gets signed into law. I would really be surprised. There's mixed reviews on the new Apple TV. And people say it looks a little rougher on the edges right now. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the show. There's no podcast app currently for the Apple TV. It's been delayed. But what folks are saying is the good and the bad is kind of as follows. Useful voice communications or useful voice controls through Siri. Clean and attractive interface. The remote is great. The bad, expensive, no support for 4K. No Amazon Instant Video support. Who should buy it? Anyone who doesn't need to watch 4K content. And really, bottom line, the Apple TV, new Apple TV shows a lot of promise. And I think what we're going to see is a lot of apps coming. Yeah, I think right now they just released it. Developers are, you know, trying to, you know, figure out the API, get it dialed in. So I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of apps coming for TV. I think this is going to be a big buy. I think it's going to do very, very, very well. PC World has a good write-up on how to block the Windows 10 upgrade. If you're still having trouble with that, I'll have that in the show notes for you tonight. Also got an email here that the UK is planning to ban encryption. The British re-elected Prime Minister Cameron, and he's continuing his life mission of invading the British people's privacy and severely restricting their freedoms. This is from osnews.com. Companies such as Apple and Google and others will no longer be able to offer encryption so advanced that even they cannot decipher it when asked to, the Daily Telegraph disclosed. Measures in the Investigatory Powers Bill will place in law requirements on tech firms and service providers to be able to provide unencrypted communications to the police or government agencies if requested through a warrant. So, maybe you guys aren't so long for having iPhones that are accessible or non-accessible. Well, that other zero-day hack makes your phone accessible as well. Go to nature.com, and I wish I was in Hawaii for this, but apparently there's a rocket on a rail. They're preparing to launch on Kauai. A 41-meter rocket is going to be placed on a 45-degree angle, a launch pad, and it's going to be launching a satellite. It's a self-guided satellite that's going to be launched. It's called the Super Strip I. And I guess this rocket was developed at Sandia National Labs. You got to love those folks. They are so, so smart. At launch, the rocket ignites the first of its three stages, takes off guided by 115-ton by the rail. As it travels higher, the rocket uses its own spin to stabilize itself as it flies to orbit. I guess it can only launch relatively smaller satellites, no heavier than about 300 kilograms, and it must deliver them in a standard low Earth orbit, as opposed to the high altitudes often used for monitoring Earth or space weather. The rocket launcher was developed by the DoD's Operational Responsive Space Office, set up in 2007 to create a launch system and other space capabilities for the U.S. military. So, low orbit satellite launching system. And it was supposed to go on today. So, I haven't heard any additional news on that as well. All right, last couple of articles for you tonight, and then we'll have some email. We've already talked, about that. Comcast's attempt to bash Google Fiber on Facebook backfired when a number of its own customers responded by hammering it with complaints. This is a pretty funny article over on BGR.com where Comcast was really kind of pounding on Google a little bit, and it didn't go over so well. A lot of people had some PR response to Comcast, and for a better word, they probably should have just kept their mouth shut. Finally, an article over on space.com talks about 15 years later, Space Station Commander recalls the first expedition to the International Space Station. In a nice interview, nice write-up about life being aboard the International Space Station as its first inhabitants, getting the station set up and so forth. All right, if you give me here just a second, and I'll get email loaded. Wow, my show is going to be short. And let me load up the comments. There was a few that we missed from the last show. Got an email from Jack. He said, "Hey, Todd, you asked for comments on the audio of your last podcast as your part-time technical director. It was well below your standards. You sound very congested, and I do have a little bit of a cold. I know you had a cough, but you didn't mention congestion. You also sounded like talking at the bottom of a can. There were no highs. The bandwidth was restricted, so it seems like you have multiple issues. If you listen to your audio, I'd be curious to know what you thought about the audio and what the problems you found." Well, what it is, Jack, is I'm recording to a Zoom H6, very limited on what I can change for input settings. So it's kind of a dumb recorder for that word. This dude has a few filters, and I did put a couple of those in place tonight. So I've got to live with this thing through the end of this trip. But it's not going to sound the same as the studio. It's just not. It's, you know, I've got a pretty impressive sound processing system there. The mic that I use alone is, you know, five times more expensive than the headset mic I'm wearing right now. So the audio is going to be what the audio is until I get back to Hawaii. So, not happy with it, but this is my challenge. And remember, I used to travel with this big rig, right? And it had all the real expensive audio processing in it. I got the sound that I wanted, but at the cost of traveling with this huge kit. Now everything fits in basically the size of a bag, the size of a shaving kit. So, a much different strategy, but thanks for the feedback. I appreciate it. Got an email from Josh. It says, "Todd, I've been a longtime listener to your show and recently came across your podcasting book that you published in 2005. I can't find an ebook version of it. Is there an ebook version or could you make one? Thanks, Joshua." Joshua, I believe it's available via ebook. I don't know if they still made it available or what. You check on Amazon. I'll do some looking around. The ebook should still be available. And here's the deal on the book. The book is essentially owned by Wiley Publishing. Even though I'm the author, I cannot just go out and make a digital copy of the book, even though I have all the digital files. It's not legal for me to do so. That's the agreement I had in this particular author-writer. And I was lucky. I got paid to write the book. Unlike a lot of people who are making ebooks today, they're doing it for free. My book was an actual publishing deal with an actual a hardcover. Here's my recommendation. If you're a fan of the show, go out and buy the hardcover of the book. And, you know, it's very, very dated, but there are some chapters there that, if you want to become a podcaster, will help you in planning and execution of your show. Some of those points are still valid today, although the distribution and a lot of things have changed. But in nothing else, you get a book and you say, hey, I listened to this guy's podcast, and you'll stick it on the shelf and it'll collect dust. But if you can find a digital copy, that's fine too. But I've got a digital copy on my Kindle, so maybe one's still out there. So I'll see if I can look around, see if I can find one for you, all right? At least find the link that you can, I think they're still make you pay for it too. Also, there's a great article or great, I got a good email from a gal, a guy that talks to the show, talks about SEC saying yes to equity crowdfunding. It's not a topic I go into great detail in this show, and I don't think it's 100% relative to everything that I cover. But David, thanks for sending that over. I'll put the link up in the show notes for those that may be interested in talking about the recent ruling with the SEC, again, saying yes to equity crowdfunding. Got an email from MS Small Biz. He says, hey, Todd, not much to say here other than, isn't it simply amazing? Okay, now this is, okay. NASA seeks programmer fluent in 60-year-old languages to work on Voyager. And then MS Small Biz goes, Todd, not much to say here other than, isn't it simply amazing these two spacecraft are still working and producing scientific information to send back to Earth. They expect with the right power savings program that they can get another 10 years out of them. So NASA's hiring. So if you are a developer and maybe you've retired and you want a little project, NASA's hiring, okay? Also, I want to thank Jeff for sending me a link over T-Mobile offering unlimited data, free video streaming. I think I had already talked about that during the show, but I do have it. And I think I've already covered this from Roger. He said, hey, Todd, I can't resist commenting on your rant about Neat. We had a different problem, paid for their help and got none. I wrote an Amazon review at the time. Here's the link. Best wishes for you, Todd, and keep up the good work. So, Roger, you had the same, well, not the same issue, but a similar issue with Neat. I cannot say how much I despise and do not recommend their particular product. If you're thinking about picking up one of their scanners, I would shop around. That's my personal opinion on them and my experience with them. Okay, that's going to, short show, going to wrap us up. And, wow, can't believe it, 43 minutes. If you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can hit me up on Facebook or on Twitter. So, anyway, we'll get back into more regular formatted content. Obviously, when I get back to Hawaii, and I hope to bring you a few extra shows while I'm on the road. I do appreciate everyone hanging out with me here and giving some consideration while I'm traveling and putting these out after very, very busy days. So it's all good. This is good things happening right now. So can't go into a lot of detail. But very, very worth my time to be where I'm at and what I'm doing. But I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me and being part of the Ohana here and being part of the family. If you're brand new to the show, thanks for hanging out with us. And if you're interested in what we do in the studio, go over to geekcentral.com/studio. There's some links there with pictures and so forth. But I want to thank everyone being on the show today. Thank you so much. We'll see everyone on Thursday, if not earlier. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.